Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I'm Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to our broadcast today on Blog Talk Radio, the prophetic news radio broadcast. And we have a very special guest for you today. We have Jackie Alnor, and of course, Jackie, she's been doing work for many, many years in the discernment ministries and reporting on the news of the coming great apostasy. So we value her input very much. And recently, Jackie attended a conference in Virginia Beach at Pat Robertson's place there. And what was going on there, oh Lord, help us. But they actually had a few well-known people that we probably know their names, James Robison and Jack Hayford, and then there was a whole host of Catholics, priests and nuns and whatever. And so they are promoting unity, but how can we unify with a false religious system? I don't think so. But Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So we don't have fellowship with the Catholic Church because, first of all, our doctrines are so different. Born again, people that are really born again, of course, we know the difference, or we should know the difference between truth and error. And we know that the Catholic Church believes that you're born again when you're baptized. And so when are you baptized as a Catholic? You're usually baptized when you're a baby. So, of course, we know babies can't talk. So how do you make a profession of faith as a baby, and then you're born again? And then, of course, they wait until you're about 7 or 8, and then they give you a confirmation, and you confirm your membership in the Catholic Church. But merely belonging to a church and being baptized doesn't mean that you're a Christian or that you're saved. So I don't understand it. I don't get it. I think some of these people are probably well-meaning, but what are they trying to do? It's ridiculous. But anyway, let me put my guest on the air, and we'll find out what she has to say. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. You know what, Susan? I've been trying to get in on Skype, and it's just not connecting, so I had to call.
Oh, wow. Huh. That's
odd. Is the
odd
quality on the phone?
Sounds good so far.
Okay.
So far, so good. I'll let you know if it doesn't sound good. But anyway, I was just kind of giving a little background that you had recently visited Virginia Beach. And now what brought you there, Jackie?
Well, I saw an ad. Actually, it was something. It was a report that was put out by Roger Oakland's ministry, Understanding the Times. He was saying that this thing was up and coming, this latest effort of a what was supposed to be some big ecumenical move of the Catholics and Protestants. And it was really hyped up quite a bit. There was supposed to be some special message to be given by the Pope. And, you know, when I got there, there was no message from the Pope. That never manifested. So I just thought, you know, I said something on my Facebook page about it, just that, you know, if anybody was able to go, this was happening. And nobody really could go. And I made some statement like, oh, I wish I could go, but it's, you know, too expensive to get there, blah, blah, blah. And somebody came forward and covered the expenses for me to go, so I went.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a sign and a wonder. So.
Yes, it was. And, you know, I did expect some huge gathering. You know, here it was on the campus of Regent University.
Yeah, it didn't look very well attended.
Oh, it was terrible. There was only 40, at the most 50 people at a time that were there, and percentage of those were part of the group that was putting it on.
Well, I think that's a good sign that people stayed away in droves.
Well, you know what it is, and I made this, I figured this out, because I was talking to another one from Rapture Ready Radio, Jim Fletcher. He had gone to another conference in Dallas, which was with the younger people and the more emergent guys and all of that, and they had a huge turnout. So it's like this is the old school who kind of isn't the cool fad right now. Okay, the groups that met that had this measly people showing up, these are people from the old school, let's say. The more modern ones were from Catch the Fire, which is John Arnott, Toronto. Those guys.
Yeah.
Were
they did it. Oh, wow.
They were. I'm looking at the little brochure that they give you, the little program when you come in, and it was called Pastors, Leaders, and Clergy Summit, and it was April 30th to May 1st. You know, it's past in 2014, and it says thank you for all the following groups for their endorsement, you know, their participation. So one of it was called United in Christ North America, which is, you know, one of these groups that's trying to change America, you know. And then Regent University was another one. Awakening America, that's part of the same United in Christ North America. It's an organization that is trying to create what they call the next great awakening. And, you know, same terminology you'll hear from people like Glenn Beck and everyone who wants to be the next and greatest thing down the pike. Okay, then the next people is the Catholic Diocese of Richmond, which is Richmond, Virginia, which is the area where this is located. And under that, as part of that, it says Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And then Catch the Fire, of course. And then at the bottom, it says Catholic Fraternity Communities, the Catholic Fraternity of Charismatic Covenant Communities and Fellowship, North American English-speaking regional communities, a private association of the Christian faithful of pontifical right. that's a big name for an organization, right?
Yeah.
but you see, they were wanting, you know, I really believe that most of the people putting this thing together they were trying to bring in those that were, you know, outside of their diocese of Richmond in order to try to attract the crowds. And to do that, they invited, of course, Jack Hayford, James Robeson. And
invited these people.
Yes. Jack Hayford, James Robeson, their organizations are not listed on that group, okay? And neither is Vincent Simon's organization. They're not listed there either. And the rest of these guys are all part of these organizations. But, and of course, the Billy Graham Association wasn't listed here, but they did But that's because, again, they weren't part of the sponsors. They just asked a representative from Billy Graham organization, the head of the Billy Graham Library, actually, to be one of the speakers. It was their effort at bringing all these guys in to attract a crowd, and these guys did not attract the crowd.
No.
Every one of these guys, James, Jack, Vincent Sinan, well, those three guys are all over 70 years old. Not that I'm against old people. Somebody thought when I mentioned this on my own report, somebody was offended that I would say they were over 70. And I wasn't saying that to insult older people. What I was trying to bring out was the fact that it is the new up-and-coming ones that are getting the the big followings, like the one I was telling you that Jim Fletcher mentioned. Catalyst was the name of that particular thing that Jim went to. I believe it was in Dallas. It's called Catalyst. They had the thousands of people. They were the 20 and 30-somethings, okay? So
yeah.
I guess I didn't bring that out well enough, that these are the guys from the old school, okay, that the young people are not flocking after. They're flocking after, the younger guys, some of the emergent younger guys like, in fact, Love Covers. What's that guy's name?
Rob Bell.
Yeah, Rob Bell. Those are the ones who are getting the – it's so funny because even names like that were dropped by some of the speakers. One speaker even says, yeah, like Love Covers, because he was putting down the thought that we should go after truth and not love.
Oh, really?
You see, yeah. So he. Oh, I don't have. Let me see if I have his name. He was one of the last speakers. You know, but the fact that, in fact, he was one I didn't get on tape because, this is the first time I've tried to use a video camera, and I'll tell you.
Well,
that,
how did you get away with that?
I didn't know I would get away with that. I found that the reference to the Love Covers. It was a guy named Dan Backens, and he was one of the local pastors who kind of felt that Jack Hayford was his mentor, and he was a local pastor in the area. And he says he was mocking the critics. He was mocking people who say truth is more important than love, and he says, well, how come? This is the point this guy made. How come truth seekers are so down and depressed? And, his Catholic friends and the ones who are open-minded, they're, he says as the book Love Covers, it says it all. There's so much detail, and I have all my notes in front of me. It's kind of hard to encapsulate, because there was so much wrong with this. But as I said, it was very poorly attended, unlike the Catalyst event that happened the previous weekend.
Or now, was it actually, it was on the campus of Pat Robertson's place there?
Yes, and in a very large auditorium with, maybe people in about, scattered about in the first 10 rows when there's, 100 or so rows.
So what do you think they thought of that poor attendance?
Well, do you know the name? I talked to Vincent Sinan at the end of this thing. Do you know the name?
Yeah, I know Vincent, the name, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he was very big he headed up the Congress on the Holy Spirit events in the late 80s. I went to, as a reporter, I went to the one in 1987 in New Orleans, and he put that one together, and that attracted about 100,000 people.
Wow.
Yes, it was the Catholics and Charismatics. They had a piped-in message by Billy Graham that opened up the Congress on the Holy Spirit. It had workshops by every heretic known to man, and it was just one big event that all met in the Superdome. You know, the big dome where everybody from the Katrina went in and hurricane. They filled that every seat in the house. Okay.
Wow.
that is how huge it was. And my husband and I went, when my husband and I was a correspondent and my husband was a reporter for National and an International Religion Report, which was a big newsletter back at the time. So we got back, we got passes behind the scenes and all of that, you know, because we had press passes in. But so I went up to Vincent after this whole crazy, pitiful event ended. And I went up to him, and he looked really pathetic. And I told him that I had attended the 87 Congress, and he was like, oh, it's like the first ray of light coming across his face for the whole 2 days, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, you were there? And I said, yes. And I said, you know, I said what that was sort of a spillover, you know, that had people, when God, you know, really poured out his spirit at the, I believe it was the Jesus people outpouring was the last, well, I told them, I said that I felt that the Jesus movement was the last real outpouring, and the Lord poured out his spirit on all over, and people are getting saved left and right. I said, but as we were getting saved, we were reading our Bibles, and that made us leave the Roman Catholic Church in droves. I said, we began to read our Bibles, and we saw that what was in there didn't line up with what we were seeing in the Roman Catholic Church, and here you want to bring us all back together when so many Roman Catholics left because of that outpouring. And
yeah.
They kind of got the spillover from the Calvary Chapel movement, which I think was pretty much ground zero of that outpouring. And that, I believe, is the last one that occurred. And then all the other denominations wanted to get in that really spread into what is known as the Charismatic Renewal. Because the Charismatic Renewal in the denominations was an afterthought after the Charismatic Jesus People movement of the, you know, the 70s.
So, yeah.
Anyway, I was trying to explain that to him, that I came out of the Catholic Church, and you know, and he wanted to join everybody together, and I said, anyway, I said something about that was the last outpouring. You're not going to see that again, because the whole conference, they kept saying they're waiting for the next Great Awakening. I said, you're not going to see that again. You're not going to have a Great Awakening like that ever again. And he goes, I know. He goes, you saw what we did. He says, look at this. And he pointed to the crowd, which wasn't a crowd at all, and with the most glum look on his face, no, we'll never see that again. He looked like he was about to cry.
Yeah.
And so I just, I told him, I set him straight on church history as it is continuing, and said that was an outpouring before. Even though, gosh, all of the devil's people got in the middle of it, didn't they? But anyway, that's another story. And I said, but now what you're seeing is the formation of the great apostasy, and to join all of these, not just all of Catholics and Protestants together, but all the religions together, is what they're trying to do. And I said, that's the formation of the great harlot church. And he didn't argue. He just quietly said, thank you, and walked away like he was defeated.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess the Lord was trying to give them a little hint. Even all those big names they had there, nobody cared.
Yeah, I know. It was pitiful. You know, and like I said, he looked devastated the whole time. And I guess it's because, you know, I guess maybe he went through a big effort. I don't know where he lives, but these people.
Well, that's a big effort plus a big expense to bring all those people in. Name some of the high-powered people, so-called, that were there.
Well, as I said, Jack Hayford, who is the chancellor of King's University and the founder, you know, of Church on the Way, and he was there. And, of course, James Robeson, you know, he's on TV. His ministry is called Life Outreach International. And, of course, he's the one that weekly has part of his ministry team is Beth Moore. And, of course, James Robeson recently co-authored a book with a Catholic because he's really big on bringing back in all of the Catholics and the Protestants. And then there was a guy named Bruno Arula. I can't even pronounce his name, but he's one of the pastors at Catch the Fire, which is, you know, John Arnott's group. And then, of course, Vincent Sinan. Some of these Catholics, you probably wouldn't know their names. Their big one was one by the name of Father Ranero Cantamalesa. He is the official preacher to the papal household.
Okay? Oh.
And then the master ceremonies guy, his that kind of seemed to run things, he was a deacon, Wentworth, which I showed Deacon Darrell Wentworth. He seemed to be like the master of ceremony of this whole thing. Of course, Pat Robertson was there. He gave like an opening welcome and just seemed to be like he didn't even want to be there. Why did you watch him? He says, I am, whatever it is I am nowadays. Who knows? the leader of this joint.
Yeah, it
was all pretty pathetic, and I think he too was taken aback by the lack of people coming.
Yeah, that's pretty devastating when you have all those big names and nobody shows up.
I know, and some of these they're it was raining. I will say. There was almost flooding. The weather was so bad those 2 days, and it was during the week. And, you know, and it was leading up to a big Catholic conference that they were going to be having next door. I mean, in the next town over in Richmond, Virginia, they were having some big Catholic thing. And they brought, the guy from Catch the Fire, you know, a couple of the younger guys over there for that in order to try to rouse up their people. Now, the thing they kept pushing is this Awakening America Alliance, and that is on the board is the guy from the Billy Graham Association, and so they had said, well, in the brochure here that they handed me, it says, they're trying to make it some big national move. And it says this, I'll read this paragraph. It says, Awakening America has created a list of 20 key indicators of a spiritual awakening. What would a contemporary spiritual awakening look like in America, in our church and culture? There are 20 indicators that will signal a great awakening in America, 10 in the church and 10 in the culture. These spiritual indicators will ignite a passion for the body of Christ to unify in prayer as we prepare our state, our counties, and our hearts, or countries, I think they meant to say, not counties. Anyway, wrote counties, but I think they meant countries. Like, oh, yeah, I'll say Allegheny County, yeah, we're into it. But anyway, it's just, I went online to their things to see what their indicators are, and the 10 indicators they have in the culture, as if this is going to just somehow happen. I suppose if the Holy Spirit did pour out his spirit, that's what would happen, but they're looking for number one is a breakdown of racial, social, and status barriers as Christ's church celebrates together. You know, that's going to happen in the culture. You know, they say a transformation of society through the restoration of Christ's influence in the arts, media, and communications. Okay, that's one element of the Seven Mountain Mandate.
Yeah.
So if you read all this, see that coming through, the Seven Mountain Mandate that we all have to join together. In fact, the theme throughout this whole crazy, poorly attended thing was that God's not going to pour out his church, his spirit on the church. There will be no great awakening until all professing Christians come together. Be they Catholic, whatever. That's going to be the impetus to get God to come down.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yes.
I didn't know he ever left.
Yes. Well, you have a point there.
Where is he? Oh, wow.
Isn't that awful? You know, some of the stuff I didn't get on tape and I didn't bring up, you know, I don't want to duplicate everything I said before, but I want to, things I didn't get to. I took down some notes on the second day of the event when my darn camera didn't have any more juice. And the thing is, I had it plugged in all night, but that wasn't enough. I thought plugging in a video camera would last just as long as if you plugged in your laptop and it would.
Yeah.
Okay, I was wrong about that. It didn't work that way for my camera, so it ran out right away on the second day. So I wanted to share some of my notes from that second day because I didn't get to it in the presentation that I did on YouTube and everything.
Okay.
But we'll say the first night I did go and have dinner. This is another thing I didn't mention. I was there by myself, and so I decided, I didn't want to go off the, you know, because I stayed at the Founders Inn, which is on the campus of the university. And it was kind of confusing, very confusing campus. It's like a labyrinth. There's no straight ways that you can just, you know, turn left and turn right and find it. Everything was one big labyrinth with buildings made of brick, and everyone looked like the other, like the next one over. I don't know how any students, well, I guess if they're there while they're, they'll find their way around this labyrinth of buildings, but that's the best way I can put it. So
yeah.
I just decided to eat there that dinner that first night, and so I was sitting there by myself, and two tables over was the whole group of speakers sitting there eating, okay? And I was kind of trying to hone in on it, kind of eavesdropping, I hate to say that, but the one deacon guy just kept, you know, talking about, he was trying to impress these important evangelicals that he brought, that they brought in, and so he kept bringing up the name of John Wimber. John Wimber's name was touted all over the place as a big influence in what they're all doing. And, of course, Billy Graham was the other name that was thrown out a lot. So was mentioning of John Arnott and Catherine Kuhlman and Joel Osteen. And, you know, they were throwing all these names out around the dinner table and everything. And then at the end when everybody, they kind of left, a little feeble Jack Hayford was on a cane. I was sitting over by this fireplace. He comes walking over to the empty chair, puts his, rests himself, his hand on the empty chair across at my table, across the, I'm only the one sitting there, and introduces himself to me and wanted to know what church I went to and where I was from and all that. And I just had a nice conversation with Jack. At that point, I wasn't confronting anything. Not like I did with Vincent later, because, you know, Jack gets up there and they said he's 80 years old and he did look feeble, you know, and
yeah.
It's hard not to love Jack Hayford. I think he's well-meaning, a nice man. He just saw that I was there by myself, I think, and just wanted to introduce himself and be nice.
Yeah, that was
and, you
nice.
Know, that's one of the difficult things. Being in discernment ministry or being a watchman in the church or any of the things that, you know, people say we are, but is some, you know, they, people, if you speak amiss about someone, they'll say, well, he's the nicest, greatest guy I've ever met. You know, you're just jealous. And I'm thinking, no, you know, it is hard to have to point out error in somebody who on outer appearances would seem like the nicest guy you ever
yeah,
met.
Yeah, it is. It's true. When you know people, and you know how they are, their personalities or whatever. Yeah, it is. You can like them personally.
How can you not like a Joel Osteen, for instance?
I mean,
how can you, unless you understand what the Bible teaches and see how he speaks amiss from it, all you could say about him is, what a sweet, nice guy. You know?
Yeah.
The same thing with Jack Hayford. I mean, how could you say anything bad about Jack Hayford? What a swell, nice, loving pastor he is, you know? And he has fallen for doctrines of devil.
Yeah.
And you think,
yeah.
Gosh,
it's really sad. Yeah, it's
yes,
sad.
It's sad. Yes. Oh, it's very sad. I was, my heart went out to him. That's all I can say. And same with Vincent Steinen. I mean, I think, these are guys who really mean well, but they're totally deceit. I wouldn't say totally deceit. They have a lot of deception, and they have a lot of things right as well. But you see, the enemy has gotten to them, and you know, they just lack discernment.
Yeah,
you know,
well, it's the whole fame thing. It's harder once you reach a certain pinnacle, I think, to really take a stand, because you have so much to lose. They have so much to lose if they would 100% sell out. You know, they lose their churches for sure.
Yes, and they would have a hard time admitting that they had been steering people wrong all these years.
Yeah, it's difficult for, it's like Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we see that. I even had someone contact me from my days at New Life when I was there at Norval Hayes Ministries, and he asked me, he said, how come you don't come down real hard on Norval? It's difficult because I knew Norval, I liked him, and I understand exactly what you're saying. Now, I don't agree with, I will come out and say I don't agree with most of the things that Norval does or he teaches, but I know that as a person, I know he loved the Lord. I know some of the things that he taught us while we were there were kept us grounded, and we had some excellent Bible teaching. But yet he's very friendly with Mike Murdoch, and it's difficult.
It is, because it's not so cut and dry, black and white, as people might, you know, because like I said with Hayford, he's someone that, you know, he started that Bible college, and I understand there's some good teaching at that Bible college. Doesn't mean error doesn't get in there. I'm sure it does. But, you know, you think of all the things that he's accomplished, and, you know, you can't, it's not easy to just dismiss that.
That's true. That's true, because I was there too. I was well-meaning. I had a heart for God. I was born again and, you know, serving God, but yet I was involved in the Word of Faith movement and a lot of error. But you know, the Lord delivered me. I didn't have that much to lose when I came out of it, you know.
Yes. Well, anyway, so, going back to notes, on that second day, I put that it starts off with the Catholic worship leader. They did have a Catholic worship leader. And if every single song he did, and he did quite a few, he used repetitive words that were just repetitive and repetitive. In fact, I wrote down what I call it now. I call it mantra worship.
Yeah.
Where you're just repeating the same thing, but you're doing it in song over and over and over again. And he was really kind of pathetic because he said that he was sick with a fever, and even as he's trying to worship, he has shooting pain going through his ears, the poor guy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and so he was, you know, trying to worship, and yet he was in all this pain. And he had everybody just singing this repetition. And funny, because on the second night, that Deacon Wentworth gets up there again. And, you know, he was mentioning the persecution of Christians around the world, and, you know, the Catholics in the Sudan or wherever, you know, and the Coptics in Egypt and all of the different Catholic type of groups that are being persecuted. He says, in the eyes of our persecutors, we are already one. You see, so it's like,
oh, really?
You know, yeah, he's our enemy.
Yeah, they were the biggest. They were the biggest persecutors of them all, the Catholic Church. Imagine hanging somebody upside down and pulling their tongue out. Oh, please!
In the Iron Maiden, until they, you know, would accept the Eucharist.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. And so,
we're not going to forget about that part of history.
And I could see where they were trying to find common ground. The mystics were mentioned a lot, like Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross.
Oh, really?
Yes. Augustine was brought up quite a bit from some of the Catholic speakers. They're trying to find common ground with us. And the common ground is, of course, in the invasion of the contemplative movement into the so-called evangelical church. So they were latching onto those things as how we can become one. This is, you know, and then they kept using the analogy of the body of Christ and its members. And they're claiming that Augustine didn't see it, you know, so much as
as individuals, but as groups of people, or, you know, and now as they're putting it, denominations, and saying that, you know, the Lutheran can't say to the Presbyterian, I have no need of you, or you know, the Baptist can't tell the Catholics, I have no need of you. They were using that whole analogy of the body of Christ in the Word of God to show how we all need to unite.
Yeah, well, they're not too far off, because it seems like most of these denominations are uniting with Rome. So how do you think, Jackie, though, how do you think that this, behind the scenes, really, that this thing, whole thing has been organized by the Catholic Church, I think, for many, many years, that they've had had a program and an agenda?
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's part of their new evangelization, was what they're calling it. They call it the new evangelization. And, of course, with the new evangelization, they've, you know, they act like they just want us to all join together. They do want the Pope as the head of the Church, and as I will show with some of these quotes I'll give you in a minute, people like Jack Hayford and James Robeson would have no problem with that. But the thing is, what has not changed, even in this so-called new evangelization, is that the Catholics believe that they are the one true Church founded by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And, you know, I was quoting, when I mentioned this on my YouTube thing, I think I quoted from Carl Keating's 12 Painful Ways to Evangelize, where he's getting into this whole thing about Catholics evangelizing others. You know, it all comes down to them wanting to bring everyone to come back to the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, when you think about it, it's unbelievable that now their Come Home campaign, they've even dropped names and brought in people like Rick Warren to say, come home to Mother
Teresa. Yeah! How do you like that?
Well, see, Rick Warren's not trying to say that we should all become Catholics. What he's trying to say is we should acknowledge the Pope as the head of the Church, but it will be unity and diversity, and yet at least there'll be a visible head, and that will be the Pope.
Yeah. That's amazing. That whole, they put that video together. Yeah, the coming home video, which I think some people don't realize the whole Catholic agenda, because perhaps they haven't read the literature. And, of course, being raised Catholic, we both know so much about the Catholic Church and the Catechism. And we were taught that growing up, that they were the one true Church, and we had to bring everybody back to the one true Church. And but how do you think that this, and I would like to get to your notes too, but how do you think that this whole thing ties in to the end times?
Well, of course, it's the great apostasy in action. The great apostasy is at the helm now. We're in a post-Christian current apostasy time of Church history. You know, the whole place is permeated. Remember the scripture that says a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Yeah.
So the whole lump leavened, okay? That's where we're at today. The whole lump is leavened, and they want to make one big lump of dough out of all, with all that leaven in it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I used to go to, it makes me think of the story, I used to go to a church that had such a mixture of saved and unsaved, and they just didn't care. You had people who you just knew, if you talked to them, they didn't know Jesus, and they didn't care. They just thought it was a good place to go to get a pick-me-up every week or whatever. You knew they weren't.
Yeah.
And I remember I was offended that when they did communion at that church, they would give you these little oyster crackers that were fully leavened. And I remember my husband getting irritated with me because I made an issue out of it with the pastor. And, of course, I did kind of win, because I mean, as mad as my husband was at me for making a scene, and I didn't make a scene, but he seemed to think so, they did change over to matzah, you know, crackers a couple of weeks later. So the next time they did
convene,
that's right. A couple of weeks, it was the next month. Even though they were like, she's such an irritation. But you know what? I thought to myself, wait a minute, that they had it right. They should have had leavened bread in their communion because they had a leavened congregation.
Yeah.
It was actually appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, well, iron sharpens iron. So God does have people that, you know, people think that you're being irritating, but iron sharpens iron.
I know, but they just didn't want to take any criticism at all. But the truth
been there.
With their leaven. I mean, if you're going to let leaven in the church and let people who shack up together and not even be rebuked and they still come there all the time, you know, when those kinds of things are going on in the church, you might as well have leaven to communion.
Yeah, well, I've had people say, well, how come you don't join a local fellowship? Well, they wouldn't like me. They wouldn't like me.
I know.
I mean, I would irritate them, especially if I said anything about tithing.
Oh yeah, don't touch that.
Yeah. They would try to muzzle me. So no, I like being free. Thank you very much. But anyway, let's get back to your notes.
Okay. So I put the worship team came from Catch the Fire. The Catch the Fire Church had, I mentioned here, did the worship the next day. I guess that poor guy with his earache couldn't stand it the next day.
It was hardly worship.
Oh, I know, but this is terrible. It was everybody kind of getting, you know, that dark, deep, dark sort of Catholic spiritual sort of.
Yeah, I mean, how could you worship somebody you don't even know? That's pretty difficult.
God. So anyway, so I just made a quick note about the worship team. The worship team came from the Catch the Fire, and they had beautiful voices, a bunch of beautiful young people, and they got up there and did their thing. And they were not seen anywhere in the conference. I was at that conference the whole time. I never saw these guys. They showed up and did the worship, and then they left some of their stuff on the pew in front of me because I was off to the side. And then they went in the green room or whatever, and I could hear them back there giggling and whatever. Then they came back out when it was time to get spiritual again, and they get up there to get all spiritual. And then they go ditch out. One of them had one of their little boys with them who's just over there laughing, and others were like, it's like they weren't taking the whole thing seriously, but it came time to, oh, yeah, bring down the Holy Spirit. Then, by golly, they all knew how to get into that, okay?
Yeah.
That's just another one of my notes. Now, okay. Their man that led them up, this lackey pastor of John Arnott's, this guy named Bruno Arella, he had to share his dream that he had, okay? And he said, I'll read my notes here. He said, an angel delivered the dream to him, and he saw gold dust and jewels that came upon Catholics in this Roman Catholic bookstore that he went to.
Oh, yeah, well, they like that. They like gold and jewels, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, I'll say. And then he began to fly. So he was hovering over them flying, watching the gold fall on the Catholics. And he said others were mocking. And he commanded their leaders to freeze, the leaders. Not sure if they were the ones who were mocking or the Catholics. He commanded them to freeze, and he unfroze one of them. And it was a bald man who had no mouth. And he laid his hand on the guy, and a mouth developed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, just weird stuff like that.
I mean, wearing somebody's bones around your neck or whatever.
No.
It's full of weirdness.
Okay, he ties this dream into the following. He says, right after he had that dream, the change of popes occurred, okay? Mm. So in other words, the man that had no mouth that he gave a mouth to was Pope Francis. Everything came back to Pope Francis on this whole thing.
Yeah.
So after the dream, there was a change of popes, and then he recollected when, back in 2007, he was he heard about the prophetess Stacey Campbell. And in 2007, she was in Argentina, and the guy who ended up becoming the Pope, this cardinal in there, he was there at this meeting that they had down in Argentina. And the Lord came upon Stacy and said that this, and she started prophesying over this guy who is now the Pope. And she said that God sees that because of his humility, he's going to exalt this man. And then he says, Stacy was hit and prophesied that he would be the next Pope. And he says, and there were witnesses to it. And you know who Stacy Campbell is. She's the lady who shakes her head wildly while she so-called prophesies.
Oh, no.
So when it says that she was hit, what he's trying to say is she started her shaking crazy fits as she prophesied over this guy who is now Francis.
That's demonic.
I can't remember the name of that he was. He was Cardinal, you know, somebody. With
yeah,
a funny
Bergoglio or something, yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, he doesn't even know English. And here
he does know English.
Well,
he's a liar. I read his bio. He studied English for 3 years. He knows English.
Well, anyway, she was carrying on like that over him, saying that because of his humility, God was going to exalt him.
Oh, yeah, he's real humble. Like, why doesn't he give up his 10,000-room palace? I don't know. I don't see them selling the palace.
No, but he won't live in the palace. See, he's trying to put on this humility.
He lives in the palace. He lives in the palace. He lives there. They lie. You think he's not going to live in the palace?
Claims he lives in the apartment.
He might stay there on occasion. He's not giving up his palace. No.
But the way this guy was trying to link Catholics and Protestants together was through his dream, and his dream was he gave the Pope a mouth to speak, and that the prophetess Stacy Campbell, who is as demonized as one can get. Laid hands on him and brought it about. Okay, they're taking credit. The Catch the Fire guys are taking credit because you see, Stacy Campbell is part of them. She's in the same Catch the Fire group. They came out of the Vineyard. Her husband Wes Campbell used to be a pastor in British Columbia of a Vineyard. And when Arnott got kicked out, they went along with Arnott.
Yeah, but how did she even get her hands on this guy? They don't just go anywhere and let you lay hands on them.
It was a Protestant Catholic gathering that was in Argentina that they all went to.
Because they don't let you come near them.
Yes, you should be skeptical. I don't necessarily believe they're boasts.
No.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, who goes up to Kenneth Copeland and lays hands on him, or Benny Hinn? These people are hard to get to, so it had to be staged if it ever did happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of think it's all their hype and probably never happened anyway. So anyway, another thing I wrote down in my notes as I'm listening to these speakers is that they're trying to use the moral issues in society, you know, the whole thing with the same-sex marriage and abortion and things like that, as a way to come all together, and we're not going to overcome those things until we're all one.
Oh, really? I thought that when you got born again, you overcame those things.
They're not looking at individual believers. They're looking at movements of groups with them.
How does anybody ever get changed? The only way you get changed is if you get born again.
Well, they're trying to change society without getting people born again.
Yeah.
They're saying, okay, and this is how they put it, because you've touched your finger on the problem. They don't believe in individual salvation anymore. It says that they are to go everywhere and baptize all nations. So they're going after nations, not people.
Yeah.
You see?
So that was that part of the program that they said go and baptize?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Baptizing was another big theme of this whole thing. Okay.
Wow.
Now this is really gets weird, as if it can get any weirder. But when they saw how poorly the thing was attended and how dead everything was, I believe that's when they brought in that local Catch the Fire group to sing, and they really weren't into it. But then they brought in Bonnie Chavda. Now, do you know who Mahesh Chavda?
No. Oh, yeah.
Mahesh and Bonnie are locally pastoring some weird church in Virginia there. And Mahesh,
a Knight
of course,
Malta, he is.
Yes. Oh, he is scary. He's one scary dude. He's one, I remember seeing a video of him. If you ever want to look up Mahesh Chavda and watch him swinging around this big sword and acting like a wild man from the jungle. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and his wife, Bonnie, who is hardly recognizable anymore after all her changes of faces with, you know, the help of her cosmetic friend. They got her to come. They couldn't get Mahesh, but they got Bonnie. So when they were trying to stir up the Holy Spirit at the end of this thing, they had to realize they brought Bonnie in. She was not in the program. She was not even scheduled to be there. But I believe they brought her in to try to stir things up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and faithful to that end, they come in, and while the band is singing, she has them do the Benny Hinn routine of singing Hallelujah, Hallelujah, you know that song?
Yeah.
If you can tell by my lousy singing voice, but they bring in the people up there, you know, the ones who didn't give a rip and were sitting in the green room laughing and chuckling while the same is going on, they're up there singing Hallelujah, trying to bring down the Holy Spirit. Okay? So fun. Am I coming off cynical?
No, I mean, the thing is, there wasn't anything they could do to get things stirred up.
Well, one of them tried to help. One of the guys on the platform was singing Hallelujah. He didn't get slayed in the spirit and fall down on the floor. He just went down on the floor and laid down. So this guy lays down up there. Okay, that might stir up other people to get slain in the spirit. And Bonnie starts his incantations like you can't believe. She starts yodeling and screaming and invoking the spirit. And while she's doing this, I am just privately praying that no unclean spirit could come in there, that no unclean spirit would manifest.
Yeah.
You know, I'm praying against it the whole time and asking the Lord to not let anything come through. And guess what? Nothing came through. And I am telling you, you've never seen such a thing before. You have. You have, because you've seen enough of it, you know, to know how this gets up. So I write this. I said Bonnie Chavda gets in position. She starts doing the Benny Hinn Coolman Hallelujah song to try and rouse something up. I'm praying against the unclean spirit from manifesting. Bonnie sings to the realm of the spirit and makes a decree, you know, some impromptu song she sang. And she tries to whip it up. And she claims that there was a scientific study about communal singing and that she says that it brings down spirit manifestations. Oh, yeah.
Okay. It was trying to bring down spiritual manifestations, all right. Where did they
get this stuff?
Like, where did they get this stuff? I didn't know the Holy Spirit had to be brought down. I thought he was here.
Well, they're trying to bring something up. I think they're bringing something down. They're trying to bring something up. Okay.
Yeah.
And so she gets bigger and louder, and the Hallelujah gets bigger and louder. And then Bonnie keeps bending and increasing the decibels, hoping that would do the trick. See, she does the routine of, what's that guy from The Call, Lou Engel? You know how Lou Engel can't talk about bowing and bowing and bowing?
Yeah,
well, that's what she was doing. She started bowing and skitting really loud and screaming for the wind of the spirit and the fire of the spirit and all of these kinds of things that she just, you know, kept hollering for and haggling in babbling and all of that. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, nothing really was happening. You could even tell she was getting frustrated because for some reason.
That would have made a good YouTube video.
Oh, I know. And I was so, and I remember what was going on thinking to myself, darn, why didn't I get this? This is when I need this. But you
know
what?
That was priceless because it would really go to show people how pitiful this whole thing is.
Oh, I know. And absolutely, like I said, there's this one song that they were singing, and this is the same guy that brought Bonnie up, this guy named Bruno from Catch the Fire. He was testifying of how this priest, one of the priests came to Toronto and got into the fire tunnel and had so much fun. But he says that the priest, who after he went through the fire tunnel, he had some horrible shooting pain running up and down his arms.
Yeah.
You know, and then Bruno says that the Roman Catholic Church may lead the way in the next revival, and we just may have to jump in to their revival.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. What? Like yeah. How? Like, what are we going to do? Say the rosary?
Oh, I don't know. Then the song that they kept singing at this thing, here's some of the words. There is a place of commanding blessing where brethren in unity dwell, a place in unity joined together. What rhymes with dwell?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like a bunch of magicians, like they hired a bunch of magicians to come in there and try to work some kind of magic.
Exactly. That's what I was calling it, incantation. They were trying to get this thing going. You know, then this deacon from the Orthodox Church, Keith Fournier, got up there, and he was, again, testifying of the Toronto blessing, and he said that he found out it was real. Carol Arnott pointed to him and screamed, fire, and everyone went out, and he was dancing like a Russian, and he danced that way with a Catholic priest.
Mm-hmm. So what was that supposed to mean?
I haven't just said everybody's all in it together. It's the same spirit being poured out on them all, just like Cornelius. You know, that's what they compared it to.
Cornelius danced like a Russian with a Catholic priest? I don't think so. Oh, it's insane. It sounds like an insane asylum in there.
And then this Fournier guy said that he met this Father Ed Wade of Houston, this Catholic priest in Houston, but they met in Metagurgy, and they went there for theosophic ministry, healing, and deliverance.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what he said. This Anglican priest, and he said that he spoke of that it was a Roman Catholic lady that led him into the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, really?
Did you
notice, Jackie? I've noticed lately. Now we grew up Catholic, so we know this. We never called the priest pastor ever.
Oh, never. Never.
Now
never.
They're calling themselves pastors.
Oh, they're totally using evangelical lingo to try to confuse everything. They've now got prayer partners and prayer warriors. Yeah, the whole nine yards. They're all trying to sound us, you see.
Yeah.
So we can all be one if we're all doing contemplative prayer and then going through fire tunnels. And and then that means we can head out to Metagurgy. And then on top of that, when they had this group prayer, everybody had to answer you know, that this group here they did with the whole group, if I can find my notes on that, they ended everything with, Lord, hear our prayer. One person jumped up and says,
Was everybody praying that prayer together, like James Robinson and Jack Hayford, Lord, hear our prayer, over and over again?
No. You got to understand this. Those big names left and didn't fit in on everybody else's stuff. If they weren't involved, they weren't there.
I see.
And then when they were doing this corporate prayer, it was a guy who was leading the prayer. One of the I think it was the what's that guy's name? He was, I think, an Anglican guy. Anyway,
everybody had to respond. They had to have the everybody had to throw up a prayer, and then the entire congregation would respond with, "Lord, hear our prayer." And so there was this, let's see, where is my note? This one Catholic lady that they had to respond, "Lord, hear our prayer," she stood up and said, I can't find it. I'll have to paraphrase it. She said, "I pray that the Protestants would receive our gift to them, the sign of the cross, that they would do the sign of the cross." And then everybody said, "Lord, hear our prayer."
Oh.
And then another guy stood up, which was really funny. "Lord, I pray that you would give us all an increase in discernment and understanding." "Oh, Lord, hear our prayer."
Yeah, yeah.
Friend of Bonnie's jumped up, "Lord, I'm praying for a consuming fire. Burn, burn, burn. Lord, hear our prayer."
Oh, dear.
Yeah, because that was, I found some more notes on the Bonnie thing. These are some of the things that she kept saying. She was saying, "The storm of your spirit, turn and move." And then she, and I write, "She's carrying on, tells everyone to sing in the spirit. Some song leaders sitting in the pews giggled, and the ones who sat out most of the service are now up there singing in the spirit, so-called. And they keep trying to get something to show up. And then, quote-unquote, Russians, they repeating Russian over and over again. And then Bonnie screams out, "We pray for Obama." And then she starts showing up like a mighty wave, crash in, like a mighty wave, crash in. And she thanks God for the anointing of the papacy and the Holy Father.
What?
And
what?
She says, "Oh,
the anointing of the papacy."
Yeah, she's praising God for the papacy, for Pope Francis. And she says the oil will fall from the top down. In other words, from the Pope down. So,
oh my word.
Well, it was crazy. Like I said, except that I'm telling you, as far as anything manifesting, nobody was getting the shakes or the rumbles or the falling down. None of those things happened as I sat there the entire time this was going on praying against it.
Yeah, that's good.
And there wasn't a single thing that it was just them trying harder and harder and getting frustrated.
Yeah.
In fact, you could see the expression in Bonnie's face. She tried every incantation she knew with the wind and the rain and everything coming up, and nothing manifested. So, there was just so much. You know, if people haven't heard or seen the clips that I show that I was able to catch, you know, they can go on to Vimeo, and if you even go to Google and search for, just my Vimeo page, just put in my name, Jackie Alnor, you'll find the video of this, unfortunately, like I said, some of the crazy stuff at the end, which actually didn't work out for them, came up, and I didn't see that the Catholics, because there's a lot of Catholics in the group. You know, in the short, small little group, they just didn't respond to the Bonnie, you know, the way that you know they had hoped she would, because I think they're just too conservative for that. And
they've never seen anything like that, probably not in a Catholic church.
They look bothered, actually.
Yeah.
And that's probably another reason that nothing came up, because they were not in agreement on that.
Yeah.
You know, she's the one that was well known for years ago of giving the so-called vision of the Wizard of Oz. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. But tell people about it.
Well, she says that she had this vision. In fact, I have it in front of me. She starts out saying, "In the vision, I was standing on a land map of the USA. The state stretched out from me in front and behind. I was facing west, and above me, from horizon to horizon, an approaching terrible storm. I heard a voice say, 'This is the refreshing. it will be very violent. And she has that in all caps. It will be very violent. Suddenly, I was standing on the flat wheat fields of the Midwest. In the distance, approaching at tremendous speed, was a terrible cyclone funnel cloud. The earth all around the approaching cyclone was kicking up in a tremendous frenzy. As I watched a series of scenes from the movie adaptation of the American classic, The Wizard of Oz, pass before me, with each picture, a voice described things that will take place at this, as this coming wind moved across the land. It will be institutions of Christian tradition and influence, including those who claim the fullness of the Spirit. It's got to sweep all those things away.
Yeah.
I saw the girl Dorothy in her humility, purity, and faith as a type of the Bride of Christ. She was running home as a storm approached. Seeking shelter, she ran into her bedroom and climbed into her bed. Everything which you have found safety or comfort, but not for me, will be exposed and uprooted. Anyway, I won't read the whole thing. It turns out that Toto is the Holy Spirit. her friend, her constant companion.
No.
Yes,
does
Toto.
Anybody take this woman seriously? Toto was the Holy Spirit. Toto. Oh,
that's right.
Please. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That, yeah. Of course, the devil is the wicked witch, you know, Myra Gulch, you know, that. And the Holy Spirit said, "Do you know who I am in this picture?" And though this would certainly offend the religious and surprise me, the Holy Spirit said, "I am Toto. Just like Toto is Dorothy's constant comforter, friend, protector, and guide, I am with you."
Oh, really? Wow.
And here's something I highlighted from her whole dream. She says, "The Lord said," of course, she's always quoting the Lord, but I would make it with a small L.
Yeah.
"The Lord said, the spirit of religion will refuse my army." Oh, she's talking about the new army is going to be coming up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The army, the Wizard of Oz, but she doesn't connect it, is that army of the witches. I mean, when you think about it, here she is bringing up an army and not saying where that fits into the Wizard of Oz, and yet the only army is the witches' army. But anyway.
Well, that fits in pretty good.
Yeah,
that fits in pretty good. Because the whole thing, even to bring in the Wizard of Oz, which is an occultic movie written by an occultist, why would anybody even bring in the Wizard of Oz into a discussion about the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, because they have an unclean spirit.
Yeah.
But she said that this is what the Lord said. "The spirit of religion will refuse my army and resist their entrance and possession of the resources of their kingdom."
Yeah.
So there's going to be resistance as they take the kingdom, and that's what they're going to do with the help of Toto and little Toto too.
Yeah, sure. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But we can really see the shift and the separation.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, people that aren't going to put up with this foolishness are going to be the people that are shunned. And the people eventually that will be persecuted, because we're coming to that day now where if we're going to quote a Bible scripture, it's going to be hate speech.
Absolutely. You know, and these guys, we are the ones that according to this group that's wanting to come all together, we're the ones holding it all back. We're the ones that aren't accepting this tornado, which is what they claim the wind of the Holy Spirit is, this tornado.
Yeah.
That they're expecting to come, and we're, you know, going to be on the outside. Actually, she kind of made a bad analogy of the scarecrow, you know, and we're in that group.
Yeah.
The Tin Man, not the scarecrow, is it the Cowardly Lion? Let me see if I can find it. She has the different types of people as the Tin Man. The Tin Man is the Caleb people, and the Cowardly Lion is the one that's afraid of his own shadow and loyal to his friends, you know. But let's see. Where's the Tin Man scarecrow? Anyway, you know, I ain't going to get into this, but I'm just saying, this is the woman that they chose to stir up the spirit at the end of this thing. And, of course, those people I'd mentioned, the only one that was there that day was Vincent Simon. The other big-name guys were already out of there.
I see.
And vision book. And it was after all this happened that it ended, and that's when I went and approached Vincent Simon.
Like
I said before, he looked miserable. He looked upset. He looked like he was on the verge of a breakdown.
I'm sure he was, because it's very hard to understand why nobody showed up for this event. I'm sure it was devastating.
I think as much as ecumenical as he is, I think the Bonnie thing bothered him. And then the lady, there was this one of the singers, she was the lead singer in the band, and she kept sitting, you know, when they would gather their stuff and stuff, she'd say hi and smile and that kind of thing. And so as everybody was packing up to leave, I handed her a note, and I said, because I told her she had a beautiful voice, and she says, well, I only want to use it to the glory of God.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I hope you do that. But right now, and I wrote her a note saying that you were singing for someone that was manifesting an evil spirit. And I said, look up the name Bonnie Chavda and the Wizard of Oz, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And I put that in a note and handed it to her as I left.
Yeah.
She seemed well-meaning.
Yeah, well, maybe she'll do some investigating, because that's the whole thing now, of course, with Mahesh Chavda being a Knight of Malta, which is a paramilitary organization of the Catholic Church. So they have been planning this thing for a long time, his wife and himself and Rick Joyner. And these people really who are, I think they're plants. They pretend to be born again, spirit-filled Christians, but their allegiance has to be to Rome.
Oh, absolutely. And that's true. Then there's that other guy, that General Boykin. Jerry Boykin's another one.
He wasn't there, was he?
No. I'm just saying that he is another one of the Malta guys.
And
the thing is that they want to all come together and join together in order to form some sort of political, religious power that's going to take over the planet. In other words, as I said, they kept talking about the nations and not individuals as far as winning people over. They're not going to convert people, but you're going to influence nations through the Seven Mountain Mandate.
Yeah.
And that's the whole NAR principle, and it's taken root with the Catholics, because they sure want power, and they want to be at the top of it, and it all fits into their agenda.
Yeah. Well, of course it fits into their agenda. I think it had to bug the Catholic Church tremendously that America wasn't a Catholic nation, the way they have managed to overtake nations and are still doing that, I believe, trying to overtake nations to make them Catholic.
Right. Yeah. It works for them in Mexico and some other countries.
Yeah. It works for them in many countries, of course. I always thought it was kind of ironic that most of these communist countries were Catholic.
I know. It never seems to any. If you look at any predominantly Catholic nation, they don't have. They haven't blessed the rest of the world very much, have they? You know.
No. So it had to be a thorn in their flesh to see the so many people coming to the Lord in this country, and really being born again. So now, this whole push that they have, of course, I'm sure they were disappointed, too, that it wasn't very well attended, the Catholic Church.
Sure they were. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this did not make them real happy. In fact, I saw the deacon and the papal preacher walking out of the building at one point, and they were heading out for lunch, and they just looked really down. And I approached those two and said, hey, I used to be a Roman Catholic, and I came out of the Catholic Church. Do you still recognize me as a separated brethren, though I left the Catholic Church? And they said, so I was surprised kind of by that. I thought they were going to say, oh, yeah. And they said, oh, no, not necessarily. Do you love everybody? I mean, is there any?
No.
Have you made peace with your enemies? I said, well, I really don't have any enemies.
Wow.
They said, so
what
you love
everybody. What a
thing
to say.
I know. And they said, do you love everybody? I said, yeah, I love them enough to tell them the truth. Oh, no, no, no. We're not talking about the truth. We're just talking about love.
Yeah, exactly.
And I said, well, you can't have that without the other. And they said, well, then, you know, as long as you don't hate anybody, yeah, you're one of us. And
wow.
I said, one of your comrades told me something differently a couple of years ago, who was really nice to me and thought I was a separated brethren until I told him I used to be a Catholic, and then he said I was an apostate.
Yeah.
And I said, you might know him. His name is Mitch, so-called Father Mitch Pacwa. And
oh, really?
Said,
he told you that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, this was years ago. I got into it with him. That's another too long of a story, but yes. And so they said, oh, separated brethren, we haven't heard that term in a long time.
In the Vatican II papers.
I know. So they kind of laughed that I used that term. And
yeah, they don't want to admit. They lie.
I know. So after that, they just got in their car and bye-bye. God bless you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they know that they consider you a separated brethren.
I know, but no, I haven't heard that term in a long time.
Oh, yeah, they haven't heard it. And he ministers at the Vatican, and he didn't hear that term. Yeah, you're a liar.
Well, I guess it's time. My voice is starting to go here.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, very, very enlightening report. I was very happy to see that you attended this event as a reporter, because I'd like to see more, more of this kind of thing where people actually go to these events and report on them on the scene. It was excellent.
In that is how far and few, you know, they aren't always in one place, and the travel is so expensive. Even though the person covered my initial expenses, it still cost me an equal amount of money with some of the other expenses that I didn't foresee, you know. But
yeah.
At least they did for my entrance into it and for the hotel. So I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, that was excellent. I'd like to encourage our listeners that if you're in an area where you see some of these conferences and you feel led to go and report on the story, it's excellent to be right there and to bring the news as it's happening.
Yeah, take your video camera too.
Yeah, take your video camera, yeah, because who knows if they have any video of this event. Sometimes, you know, they videotape it themselves. And
I don't suspect you that they were videotaping it, but I'll bet it goes nowhere because it was so pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But I think it was a good lesson. I think the Lord, you know, had his hand in it as far as it was not successful. It was something that people did not want to attend, and as you said, it was older people mainly that would have been attending it. So it says a lot for the older generation that they didn't attend, whereas the younger people who are more vulnerable are attending these things. So I'm happy it was poorly attended.
Yeah,
well, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, that was a real lesson for them. The Lord definitely was trying to get a message to them. And maybe some of them will get it. I don't know.
Yeah, pray for Vincent Sinan. I hope that what I said to him takes root.
Yes. Yeah, thank God that you were there to deliver that message to them. Because sometimes you just never know that little bit of truth, what it can do for people. I know that was the case for me. Just a few people that cared about me. And would sow seeds of the word of God in my heart and sow some truth in my heart. And it helped me so much because you think about those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank God you were there, because I'm sure you were a bright light in a dark, dark place. But
yes, yeah, so I don't know if I penetrated the darkness, but, you know, the time will tell when we're at the judgment seat and see what happens.
Yeah, that's it. And whatever we can do while we're here, you know, whatever we can do to try to help. But I want to thank you so much, Jackie. Let people know about your website, your Facebook page, and where your video is again before we close.
Yeah, well, you can just Google my name, because I have a Blogspot blog, which is just a scattered sheet. I think it's blog talk. Anyway, just Google it.
Yeah, Jackie Alnor, yeah.
But I put those same things that I entered, I put something updated every week, and I put those also on my Facebook page. So you can just add me as a friend and look me up as Jackie Alnor on Facebook. And, you know, like I said, I'm trying to, you know, now that I got this camera, I'm going to try to do more things and get more stuff up on.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because that was excellent. When I saw that you had actually gone there, I was really excited, because that was good reporting. And that's something that, because I didn't even know they were having this event, I hadn't heard about it.
Yeah,
and
it's interesting. They want you all to take a bite of the apple. That was
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. But, of course, we're going to see the majority of people going that way. That's why we do these programs, and that's why, as long as the Lord wants us to be on the Internet and to try to help people, pull them out of this deception, because it's awful. It can really destroy people's lives. Really
well,
can.
On that note,
all right, then, Jackie. So we'll be doing it again. Thank you so much for coming on today, okay?
My pleasure, as usual, Susan.
Yeah. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. I want to thank you all for tuning in today. And we have some great programs coming up, so don't forget to tune in. I have a good program coming up with Penny Louise DeWitt and Brenda Johnson of As the Day Approaches, and we'll be talking about devils and demons. Do they exist? Do they really bother people? Of course, Penny, who was a former psychic, and so she should have some good insight into that too. And then we have a very special announcement. Don't forget, June 21st, we have a very major breaking news about Paula White, so you want to be tuned in for that. And we'll be talking about John Hagee. Was he correct about his blood moons? We're going to do that program. Then we have a nice brother, Derek Faison from Chicago, and we'll be talking about their new book. And so we've got a lot coming up, but if you have any program ideas for me, or you want to recommend a guest, please email me at susan@propheticnews.com. That's susan@propheticnews.com. If you have any show ideas, or you have something special, a topic you want us to cover, or you have a friend that's got a good testimony, maybe a former Jehovah Witness or a former Mormon. So if you have any ideas for me, please feel free to email me and to check out our Prophetic News website, which I'm having a little trouble with my WordPress. I'm trying to get this website redone, and I've been having some trouble. So maybe there's somebody out there that knows how to do WordPress. And if you do, and then you can help me, email me, okay? susan@propheticnews.com. I would appreciate the help, because I'm kind of stuck right now on that. Also, we have our YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV. And anyway, It was a very enlightening program today. I was blessed myself very much with the reporting and the news. But let's remember one thing, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through him. And Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First you were born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You must repent of your sins and ask him to come into your life. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And read your Bible. Get your Bible out. Believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And he's coming again. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is coming again. And your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life today. Yes, there is a Lamb's Book of Life. And heaven is a real place. And you can go there. So God bless you today. And thank you all. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. All our listeners today, God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. City that's set on a hill, its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.